Good morning. A great day in the kingdom of God. If you're a visitor here today, what a great day to visit. We could perhaps procure some pastors out of this event today. I know many of the pastors of the conference came to a gathering just like this, and when they heard the mission story, their hearts were warmed and they were called into the ministry. So wow, who knows the fruit? Only God alone knows all the fruit that will come after today. We have Reverend D. Stickley Minor with us. Let's show some love for him. If you've been to the annual conference, and I know Tana and I have many times, and of course Dawn and others, Sister D is a regular face there at the conference because she is one of the movers and the shakers in the kingdom of God. And what a great day to have her here, and she's going to be sharing the mission story of the North Katanga mission there with the Winds of the Morning. It's just going to be a wonderful day. And I am remiss. We failed to send the message to Shelley that there is going to be a carry-in luncheon today. So there's a potluck dinner. It's going to follow the question and answer period back in the fellowship hall during the 10:30 session. Following that, yes indeed, there will be the potluck lunch. So that's going to be wonderful. And then at 4 o'clock this afternoon, we're going to have our first bike-a-thon for the Wings of the Morning. So we're really looking forward to this day, Dee. It's just such an auspicious occasion to have our director, our conference director, with us today. Also, at the close of the service, for the sake of our visitors, our regulars understand this, we have a tradition here that I inherited, didn't I, Dick? This was already in place before I came here. We stand on the shoulders of others here. And one of the rich traditions of this church is the pickle jar offering. So if you're a visitor, we invite you, if you have a change offering, a love offering that you wish to give at the close of the service during the closing hymn, Victory in Jesus, during that hymn, you can come forward and you can put your love offering in the pickle jar, and every penny will go to the Wings of the Morning, and then of course the mission raising this afternoon, the basket for the lunch and the bike-a-thon. So it's a wonderful day to be here and a great day in the kingdom of God. Are there other parish notices to come before us at this time?
I come to you on behalf of Convoy Community Days, which will be next weekend, starting on Friday, the 27th through the 29th. I meant to bring some flyers, and I forgot. But you can visit us at villageofconvoy.com or on Facebook. We are on Facebook. Thank you, Megan Hall. It has all the events listed, all the forms, 5K registration, wiffle ball registration. All of those things are on there. But we are in need of some helpers to help with the food in the concession stand and in the building for Saturday and Sunday. We have Friday taken care of, but we have quite a few openings here on Saturday and Sunday. So if you could help us out, she has them in 2-hour increments, and if you'd be able to help us out with a couple of hours, why, we would appreciate that very much. You can see me after church, and I'll put this out on the bulletin board out there. So that if I don't catch you, you can still sign up. I believe that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Vicki. Great service opportunity there for the community. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes.
Next week, the Methodist men are going to try to have a breakfast. We're sorely missing our great cook that departed from this earthly stand. But we're going to try cooking by committee, and Bob Hall has agreed to be the ramrod of the committee. So we're going to try and have breakfast next Sunday.
Next Sunday, is it? Next Sunday. Very good. Very good. I was thinking it was October. So, okay, very good. Bob, thank you so much. And yes, we need to be together, brothers. We need to be together with Nikki with the... yes, indeed. But with the poignancy, the passing of your dad, we need to be together, brothers. So, Brother Bob, thank you. Thank you for helping us out with that. Thank you. Thank you, Bob. Any other parish notices to come before us? Hearing none, let's prepare our hearts for morning worship. Joyful noises and songs of praise.
Bring gratitude and gladness this day.
We come with words of rejoicing and songs of celebration.
We come to give thanks for the gifts of God.
Lift high your voices unto the Lord for the opening hymn of praise 159. Lift high the cross.
Thank you.
this opportunity to welcome one another through the passing of the peace. Look at here. I love team ministries. That's what we're all about today. And we got Luke and we got Katie. They're going to carry the mic for us. If you're a visitor today, once again, what a great day to be in the house of the Lord. To get you better acquainted with the hospitality here, we have visitors cards there in the pews. So if you want to take a moment, fill out the visitor's card. You want to put your, if you elect, put your phone number on there, because I'm going to give you a call if you do. But when the ushers come by here in a little bit for the morning offering, just drop that visitor's card in the plate, and they get those cards to me. We got the best here, the finest hospitality. So we'll get a call out to you. And then right now, to get you better acquainted, Dee, this is a very, very, Sister Dee, this is a very special time of our worship. It's called the Joys and Concerns. If you have a joy, for example, it could be a birthday, a wedding anniversary. It could be a testimony of how the Lord is giving you strength in your journey. You want to lift up that witness, that joy. Raise your hand. It could be a concern. Maybe there's a loved one who's sick. You want to lift them up and alert us to that need. Just joys or concerns, raise your hand, and this team is going to bring you the microphone. But keep your hand up. They're not as tall as me. So keep your hand up. Oh, well, this is a great beginning. All right. Well, let's see what we can do, children. I think we can field it from down here. Go ahead, children. Yes.
Sarah Pulling got married.
Oh, well, there's a joy right there. We celebrate with you. Were there other joys up there, Mom? Were there some other joys? Well, I just hate it. Well, as I didn't we just say we love team ministry? That's what this whole thing's about today. The Holy Spirit is with us. Other joys or concerns?
Well, I guess you might call this a joy and a little bit of a concern both. First of all, this marks the beginning of 22 years that I've had a wonderful opportunity to be with the choir, and they are just a great group of people. I couldn't ask for any better people to work with. The other thing is, as you can see, the ranks are getting a little thin. So we invite anybody from high school age on up to how old you are. It doesn't make any difference. If you can sing, come and join us. We'd love to have you.
Thank you, Brother Keith. Yeah, now that's a very, very heartfelt share. Sister D, are you enjoying this music? I told her that Steve Bennett just loved being here. He and Medora really, really enjoyed this time to get to hear the singing. So we need some more in the choir. Yes, Dave.
Yes, Gina's surgery and everything went good the other day and Friday, and her heart's really beating good. She says, I can't even feel it beat now. She said, I was feeling it all over the body. So,
praise the Lord.
But she's still got a little bit of fluid collecting on her lungs, and hopefully they'll get that straightened out and everything. And also, about next Sunday, that's going to be Convoy Community Days, too, on the 29th of September. Are we still going to have that breakfast?
Well, I think they said, though, it is next week then, right? Right, fellas?
Next week,
then? Oh, is it the first Sunday in October? That's what I was
questioning. No, the 29th is next Sunday.
No, I'm aware of that, but I thought maybe they wanted to move it to that Sunday.
First weekend
Yeah. You won it the first week in October?
Yeah.
I would have been very lonely, man.
Okay, dude. Okay.
Sister D, I am not a cook.
Oh. But I will also be glad to help cook that morning, too.
And Brother Dave will help as well. So, Brother Bob Hall, Brother Dave Hall, God bless you. God bless you. And Nikki, as I say, we brothers need to come together right now. We need each other in our time of bereavement.
I just want to say my son, Farron, had some surgery last Tuesday. He had a degenerative disc in his, I guess, at the top of the spine. I don't understand it all, but they went in through his throat, and he's doing well. He called me then yesterday morning, and he said, Mom, I'm doing okay. So I thank everybody, because I know the ones that knew it prayed for him. So.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, thank you.
Praise the Lord, Fritzy. Praise the Lord. Well, and I told Dick Miller, I said, because my back was out for a month, and I said, Lord, if I get over this, I promise I will have a renewed appreciation and sensitivity to my sisters and brothers who go through this. So you tell Farron, old Greg will be praying for him, and praise the Lord for that procedure. Other sharings, other joys or concerns? Yes. There you go, Luke. There they go. Boy, Jake, they're doing great. I'm telling you, Dad. They're just wonderful.
I just wanted to say it's a great fall morning, I think, for our bike ride, and it's also Emma's 14th birthday.
Emma, my goodness.
And we always joke that it's Ashley's half birthday.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Jeannie, thank you. And it is. This is his first day of fall. And we couldn't have a better day for this occasion than the bike-a-thon this afternoon. Thanks. I want to express some thanks with the joys and concerns. Thanks to Dave Bowen back here. Coach Bowen, let's give some love to Coach Bowen heading up the bike-a-thon. And the table service, as I said, I am no cook. So boy, do I appreciate the cooks here, and especially Judy Farmer. Let's show some love for Judy Farmer, who headed up the big dinner today. Going to be a wonderful time. Yes, Delta.
Greg, I just want to give everybody an update on Mom. She went through surgery fine on Monday. She is recovering at home. Hurts a lot, but appreciate all the prayers. If we can continue to pray for her. I also have a friend of mine who has a son who is dealing with some medical issues. Luke is like 6 or 7, but if we can keep him in prayer, he's going in for surgery for like the 5th or 6th time now on Monday.
God bless you, Delta, for alerting us to that need as well. And prayers continue to go out there for your mother. Any other joys or concerns?
Greg,
is Haley? Is that? I can't see very well. Is Haley up there?
Yesterday was my mom's birthday.
Well, Mother, happy birthday. Thank you, daughter. And then I heard that. Yes, indeed. Yes.
I'm not here to embarrass her, but I want to wish my Aunt Phyllis a very happy birthday last week. Do I dare say 85 last week? And if I'm praying that I have her genes. That we can make it that long. We really enjoyed her. She's lots of fun. Thank you very much.
Amen. God bless you, man. Oh, right here, right here. Yeah, here we go, Katie.
I think it was about a week ago that our pastor could hardly walk because he had such a bad back. Have a joy and a concern. The joy is that Greg golfed the best he's ever golfed on Thursday.
It was.
I mean, he got the best score he's ever had in his life. So that's a joy for Greg. The concern for us, Dick and I, is whether we want to go golfing anymore. We told him, and God looks on Greg when he's golfing. He had 3 miracle shots. We were counting them. He'd shoot it into the trees and it'd roll out on the fairway. Get in a sand trap and it'd roll up next to the green. And about the 8th hole, I said, Greg, I said, you're not going to get your 3 miracle shots this time. But he did. He hit the ball onto the green about 25, 30 feet from the hole and knocked it in for a birdie. But So that your joy is my concern.
Oh, brother Don, thank you. Sister Dee, they have put up with this old slog for going on. This is our 20th year of golfing together. And they know how freaky that day was, you know. And I didn't deserve it, but that bad back, I didn't deserve either. So I'll take it. Thank you, Brother Don. Any other joys or concerns? Well, can we show an appreciation for Katie and Luke this morning? Thank you, Katie. Thank you. We turn to the Lord now for silent prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the joy of this fellowship with sisters and brothers of faith, Lord God. The joy that you bring to us in Jesus. We want that joy to be known throughout all of the Lord's creation. We thank you for Sister Dee's presence here today as she interprets the life-giving, the life-saving ministries of the Wings of the Morning. She's just returned from that beautiful country, but there are many, many needs there, O Lord. So we ask simply that you continue to bless us, that we may serve as conduits of those blessings, that we may serve as humble blessings unto others here to North Katanga and Kenya and all around the world, Lord God. Now deepen our faith as from our hearts we embrace and lift up the prayer that Jesus, our Savior, has invited us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Thank you, Linda. Thank you, Linda and Keith. Thank you, Choir Sister D. I told you you would just love this. It is always a blessing. Now, before we bring our keynote speaker here today, I've got to share with Sister D a heartfelt story, and it with warm affection. I remember that night that Bishop Mutombo was here in our little village on the very day that the Congo was in the news on CNN. It had just regained its freedom. Bishop Mutombo happened to be here as part of his planned itinerary. And that night, this is my spiritual mother, Fritzie Stewart. Her late husband, the great Brian Stewart, the greatest baritone to ever sang on the stage of the Grand Ole Opry. I shared with Sister D. I grew up just north of Nashville. And I had to go north to go south. 20 years ago, appointed here, and Brian took me under his wing. Of course, we've got our great professor of music here, Dr. Bowers here. But you remember Brian singing in the choir. And of course, I'm a shy guy. I'm a sweaty guy because I'm a wallflower. And he said, son, you come pick for me, because I was an old rock guitarist. I didn't sing a lick, but I was a rock guitarist before the Lord drafted me into the ministry. And he said, you come with me, and we're going to do a lot of stages, and you tag harmonies for me once in a while, but pick for me, and we're going to have some fun. And every place we go, we're going to lift up the gospel. He kept that covenant, and on that very night that Bishop Mutombo was here, we sang the country song, Take Up Thy Cross. And that night, when we sat down, Sister D, Bishop Mutombo came up to share with us. Keith, I'll never forget this. Brian and I no longer took requests because one time we were requested not to sing. So, yeah, we got pretty savvy at that. But there was a request that night from Bishop Mutombo himself. He says, fellas, will you do me a favor? Of course, what an honor. I said, yes, Bishop, what is it? He said, will you sing it again? And we did, indeed. I know that Brian watches over us today from heaven. I know that the heavenly host, the angels of the kingdom, because this is important. We are ordained to be part of this ministry. So Reverend D. Stickley Minor, God bless you. So wonderful to have you. Come share with us.
There's something for me about being able to drive outside of Columbus and get back into the rural areas. My dad was the son of a farmer, and even though we didn't grow up on a farm, I spent probably about 95% of my growing up years on, you know, my aunts and uncles and cousins' farms and my 13. And I have it printed out on paper because I actually like the New Living Translation of this, but when I was trying to find that version of a Bible that I had, I don't know where it's at. I lend my Bibles out all the time, so I had to print this off the internet. So we hear these words of Paul: don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Well, for me, there are times when the words of Scripture possess the power to just stop me in my tracks. It's as if the very letters form a chain that encircle me, preventing me from moving on and keeping me from merely glossing over the life-changing power that resides within those words. Face to face with the power of God's transformation, I stay and struggle. somehow kind of forced to accept the challenge of what it might mean and what it might look like to actually live the truth found in those letters, found in those words. No longer content with merely entertaining the meaning, I'm forced to stay in communion with those words until they seep into my very being, reshaping who I am. These words from Romans have indeed encircled my soul, my spirit, and my very being. And I don't think that they're going to release me until I am ready to live their essence, integrating their truth into my everyday life, not my sometime life. So I don't know about you, but I don't often find it natural to really love others. Nor am I always eager to always practice hospitality. Because, you know, there are just people that I want to continue not liking, and there are definitely people that I would rather not help. But there's something about these words of Paul, however, that push me to deepen and expand my capacity to truly love others, even those that I don't like, and even those that I might actually find to be kind of despicable. This kind of transformation is not humanly possible. I don't possess the ability within myself to make that kind of transformation. That kind of transformation can only happen in and through the redemptive love of Jesus Christ. And thankfully, God has placed me in a ministry with the West Ohio Conference where I am able to experience what it looks like to live the deep truth of these words found in Romans. And I'd like to be able to share some of the powerful witnesses that I have seen and experienced in and through the North Katanga Conference of the United Methodist Church. How many of y'all have ever had the opportunity to hear Gaston Ntombo or Bishop Ntombo speak? So just a couple of you all. Well, then I won't be repeating much, but what a privilege it is to be in their presence. Gaston Ntombo is a missionary through the United Methodist Church, and he's a pilot for the Wings of the Morning Aviation Ministry. So, like, why does the United Methodist Church have this aviation ministry, right? It's kind of an expensive way to be engaged in mission and ministry. But consider, right, so Congo, the Democratic Republic of Congo, is about the size of the United States from the Mississippi east. So it's a pretty big country. The North Katanga Conference is about the size of Texas. Within this area, there are no paved roads. And so often, it is very common for people to have to walk 50 or 100 kilometers for the hope of maybe finding an aspirin, right? So in this place the size of Texas, you can't go down the street or even to the next town over in a car that takes 5-10 minutes to go see a doctor, to go get medication. You live in your village, and you live with the precariousness of life, not knowing when death is going to visit you and your family. And so often, the difference between remaining alive and dying is a phone call that Gaston receives in Lubumbashi. And it is a call asking him to come and to be able to pick somebody up, to be able to take them to medical care. Gaston flies in this airplane, now a Cessna Caravan, because of the great generosity of many, many people in West Ohio Conference. That was a God-sized miracle that we are a part of. And our conference was able to help raise over $2 million so that the Cessna Caravan could be purchased, which expands the mission and ministry. And so what Gaston does is he gets in this airplane and he flies to remote areas. This is a very rural conference, very remote conference. He lands on dirt runways. And oftentimes he has to take, he has to like fly and buzz over the runway so that the goats and people will go off. And he has to turn around and land as quickly as he can before they come back on. Because if a goat were to be on a runway when he is trying to land, that actually could be pretty disastrous. When he arrives, there is, you know, a person there who is critically ill, who is critically injured, who needs, you know, that medical attention. But when you go to a hospital in another part of the country, you can't just go by yourself. So if it's a woman, they often have their young children with them, and they have another adult who can care and provide food for them because food's not provided in the hospitals. And so Gaston takes, you know, the patient and their family members and their helpers with them. And with the old airplane, he often would have to make decisions as to who could go and who had to remain. And sometimes he would have to promise to come back again and hope that another sick person didn't die. But with this new airplane, he's able to take everybody, and the sick person can actually lay down on a stretcher. They used to have to be sitting up in the seats of the airplane. And so he can remove seats, they can put them on a stretcher, and he can get them to a place where they now have the hope of living. But here's the most amazing thing. Not only is he going to be able to continue to provide that emergent care, but because we now have this airplane, he can bring doctors and nurses and medical providers into these remote villages where they can set up clinic for a couple, 3 days, so that the health and well-being of an entire village is increased. Because oftentimes it is a 5-7 day walk to see the nearest doctor to be able to receive medical care. And so this airplane is providing true love for everyone. Because in the United Methodist Church in North Katanga, everything they do is for everybody. It's not just for United Methodist, and it's not just for Christians. It is for everybody. And so he will fly people to get medical care. He will fly doctors in to provide medical care for people who don't even profess to be Christians. And one of the things Gaston says is that once you fly on the wings of the morning, your life is never the same. Because people cry because here's this plane that comes just for them, and it doesn't cost them anything. He does not charge anything for sick people to be able to go and get the health care that they need. And Gaston is, to me, one of the living witnesses, embodiment of radical hospitality. Because once he takes them to a place where a hospital is, there's often like small fees, you know, $1, $5, $10. But many of these people from the rural areas don't have that money. Gaston always pays out of his own pocket, does not get reimbursed, but he so believes in the value of that person's life that he uses the money that he gets as a United Methodist missionary to be able to pay for the medical care of this person that he doesn't even know. And what has happened many times is that people who have flown on Wings of the Morning then come back to him, or they go back to their village and find a United Methodist pastor and say, "We want to know more about your God, because your God cared enough to save my wife's life, to save my child's life, without first asking me to believe. This is what Wings of the Morning does. It brings the hope of redemption and new life. Every time it lifts off, every time it lands, it brings the promise of life, both physically and spiritually. And within Gaston, we have a United Methodist missionary who is so committed to the people in these remote villages that he is willing to fly at a moment's notice. Imagine being on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year. Gaston and his wife have not had a vacation in years. And a couple of years ago, they were actually, at Christmas time, they went to a small town where his wife was from to get out of the city. And as they had landed, they got a phone call saying that there was somebody that needed urgent medical care. Now, his wife wasn't happy. He really wasn't very happy either. But he just couldn't see not answering that call. So they got back on the airplane and went to the place where they needed to pick him up. And it was a man who was trying to get home using the train system. And the train system in Congo sometimes runs, sometimes doesn't, and it's not safe. And they're freight trains. And so people will sit on top of the trains. This man had fallen asleep and had fallen off the plane and cut his legs off, right? He got run over. And so Gaston went, picked him up, took him to the hospital in Lubumbashi, and his life was saved. And in reflecting on that, he and his wife said that that was the best Christmas gift that they ever had received. Because that's why Jesus came into the world, was to save lives. So we have missionaries that are willing to put everything else on hold in order to save lives and in order to bring the miracle of healing into remote villages for all people. There's a story, and you'll see in the video that I'm going to have you watch in a couple minutes. You'll see there's this place where we land in the airplane, and there's all these people lined up, and and there's this hill, there's this lake. We fly over a lake as we land, and it's a town called Kabulu, and it is a very remote area, and it is one of those places where people have to walk 50 to 100 kilometers, and They've never actually had any Americans there. They've never had any teams there. So we were the first ones there. And this is in an area where there was a chief that gave Gaston land so that he could build a runway. Because Gaston was in that area one time, and there was as he and his wife were walking back to the plane at another village, they came across this group of people on the road. There was a woman who had given birth. The baby had died, had not been fully born, but had died, and they needed to get her to medical care. Their ambulance was a bicycle. She was on a bicycle with her feet tied onto the handlebars. There was a person at the handlebars with a flashlight whose job it was to steer. There are two people behind the bike whose job was to push. And then when people got tired, there were other folks that would take their turn. They had been transporting her for 12 hours overnight to find medical care. Gaston and Jean saw them on the road and said, the plane is just over here at the runway. And so, he goes, come meet us. So he ran to the plane to get everything ready. Unfortunately, the woman died before they could get to the plane. And so Gaston was talking with the chief, because if there was a runway in that area, he could have come and could have saved her life. The woman's name is Wanae. And so this chief gave him this land. And so Gaston and three Boy Scouts built this runway by hand, 150 yards runway. And the chief then gave Gaston all this land by the lake. And Gaston, you're going to talk about radical hospitality and being willing to help everyone in need when they need. Gaston did not take this land as his own. I mean, he has it. He has like the deed to this land, right? But he didn't want to profit and benefit from this. And so what Gaston is doing is that he is working with the people in those villages to build a guest house. The people are making the bricks by hand. He has built a brick kiln in Lubumbashi, has flown it up there so they can be fired. Members from our team that were just there provided the money so that the cement and the tin roofing can be purchased and the components for solar energy, because Gaston knows how to develop, do solar energy stuff. So they're building a guest house, and they're going to be building platforms where MASH-type tents could be set up so that in June, we're going to have, West Ohio is going to send the very first medical team into Kabulu, where they'll do a 4-day medical clinic. This is what Gaston has done with a gift that was given to him. Land, which is prime real estate. It's on the lake, and they're using it to be able to provide health care. They're using it to bring, the bishop has brought cattle there, and they are using it to teach people how to raise cattle and how to grow the crops that can grow in that area. This is the gift of new life. Think about the miracle that this plane brings every time it lands. It brings hope that life isn't going to be as hard as it's been, and it brings hope with prayers and with concrete acts of mercy. And so what I'd like for you to do is to take a moment. It's about a 6-minute video, 7-minute video. And it's, the choir can come down if you want to. You can see it better. There's no words to it. It's just is, there is a member of our team that went with us, and he's a videographer. And he just put this together quickly for friends and family. And it's images, footage, and it's set to music. And you'll see the people of the church. When you see the big tent where people are sitting, that's their annual conference session. That's their Hoover Auditorium. And you'll see a man in a white doctor's jacket. His name is Dr. Gustav. And here's what I want you to know about Dr. Gustav. In 2010, his amazing wife, who is also a doctor, died in childbirth. And he chose to stay there in Kamina, in the same clinic where she died, continuing to deliver babies, continuing to provide medical care. When we asked him, so Dr. Gustav, you're a doctor. You could provide medical care anywhere. Why do you do it here through the United Methodist Church? This was his response. I am passionate about serving the people here. I have no choice. This is my calling. This is where God wants me to be. So as you see these images, as you hear the music, what I invite each of us to do is to consider within our own selves, how is it that God is calling us to take these words in Romans, not just gloss over them, but how is it that God is calling us to truly love people, to show hospitality to all people, to help anyone in need, both here locally and around the world? I think that's the challenge that Paul gives us. And my hope is that as we see these images, we see what that might could look like in our own lives if we allow God's Spirit to fill us like that.
Can we show some love for Reverend D. Stickle Minor, this witness? Witness! We're about to have the morning offering. The ushers will assist us, but and then we will prepare ourselves for the love offering. Every penny will go to this life-saving mission. Let us pray. Precious Lord, you provide for our every need and call us to be good stewards of your many gifts. May we be found faithful in a little, that we may also be faithful in a lot. In loving gratitude, we offer you these gifts as a sign of our desire to live as children of light, children of your healing love. In Jesus' name we pray. Again, as mentioned earlier, we stand on the shoulders of others, don't we, Dick? This was a tradition that was already in place before I came here, Dee. But I know that we are ordained to be part of this life-saving ministry. Sister Dee, what a privilege to be with you today. She's going to remain during the church school hour and the fellowship hall for some questions and answers, and then also for the table fellowship, and throughout the day. There will be opportunities to provide gifts for this life-saving mission. But during this closing hymn, this is an opportunity to bring your love offering as we sing Victory in Jesus. Thank you. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the communion, the fellowship with the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.